This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening.
So, tonight, we go back to the threefold purpose of man. Why are you here? What is your purpose? I understand the difference in assignments and mission, that all of us employ our gifts and talents differently in the kingdom of God in order to bless and add value to the work of the Lord. But that's not my purpose. My purpose never changes. It remains the same continually from the time I am saved until the time I leave this world. My purpose remains a constant, a North Star, an A440 by which I tune everything else in my life, by which I guide and navigate through every storm, through every crisis and conflict, which gives me focus. It gives me the ability to understand what's happening to me so that I can respond correctly to it. And our first part of that purpose, the last Sunday night I was here, to know God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see, I'm pressing toward the mark. Every fiber of my being, all of my life has pressed toward the mark. And the more I know about God, the more I realize I don't know about God. You know, it's like Job who said, how little is known of him. And the more I know about him, the littler that little gets. Because God cannot be comprehended. You can't put him in a box. You can't fit him in a building. There's no place in the universe that can contain the wisdom, the might, the power, and the glory of God. But he has chosen to come to this earth to die on the cross so that I could know him, so that I could become acquainted to him, with him, and I could fellowship with him. Do you realize how privileged you are to have the opportunity to know God? You can fulfill mission and your assignment, cast out devils and heal people and open up blinded eyes, and you be an individual that does not know God. He said, we cast out devils in your name, and we did this in your name. And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because God will honor his name and he'll honor his word, but that doesn't mean I know him. Samuel was a very good priest. He was a great minister in the temple. And he was a great minister of the things of God. He managed well. He did things well, but he did not know the God of the house until one night God spoke to him. And he heard that voice of God. Pentecostals, hear me tonight. Don't just go through the motions. Please don't just come to church. Seek to know God. When you pray, when you read the Bible, it should all be, I want to know him. Why? Here's your second purpose. There's a threefold cord that's not quickly broken. Here's the second cord. I'll give you the third cord next Sunday night. But here's the second one. To be like God. Now notice in Romans 8:28, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn there. And it is very important that you recognize this, because most people that I know that quote Romans 8:28 never quote Romans 8:29. Never do. I've never heard them quote it. because it contains a word in there that troubles everybody theologically, and it really shouldn't. It's just one of them sophisticated words that gets everybody freaked out. So they don't quote that one. I mean, that's true. When I read it to you, you'll understand. And we know that all things work together for the good, for good, to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So I ask you this question, what is His purpose? You're the called, and here's your purpose, okay? As God's creation, we're called according to His purpose. It is a process, and everything that happens in our life is meant to work for our good. But why doesn't it sometimes? Because we're not called, the called, according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The whole purpose is to conform you to the image of Christ, and to put it simply, to be like God. How many of y'all remember are old enough and you don't mind telling everybody how old you are by lifting your hand? How many of you remember that song? To be like. To be like. On earth I long to be. All through life's journey, from how long to glory, I only ask to be like. That's it right there. There's your purpose. There's your purpose. Go for it. Go for it. Don't stop. Don't stop. There's your purpose. You're called to be like Him. Now, that sounds great. I mean, and y'all seem to receive it great. But what does that look like in 2018? Am I in the right year? I can't remember. They're flying by so fast. It's like, wow. How many of y'all know when you turn 60, it's like lightning? I mean, I was 38 5 weeks ago. Now, it just flies by. I want to be like Him. I want to be like Him. You're predestinated. You're not predestinated to go to heaven or hell, but you are chosen from the foundation of the earth to be like Jesus. That's why people get messed up over that word. For them He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. They don't even have a clue what He's talking about here. He's talking about you being like Jesus. One more time, lift your hands and bless the Lord, and then you can be seated. I appreciate you standing. You've been awesome tonight. Thank you. Father, I ask that somehow we communicate this word unto your people, that they receive it, that they're blessed by it, that they are helped by it, and that we would begin our pursuit of your purpose in our life, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. God had a purpose for your life before you were born. We are predestinated. That means it is determined, a destiny determined before creation. Our destiny is to be formed and shaped into the image of Jesus. In other words, to be more like Him. So I'm not going to give you my opinion of Jesus. I think all of us have formed our opinion over perhaps reading the scripture or listening to preaching or, you know, seeing our mother pray for us and our grandmothers pray for us. We get a picture of Jesus by the actions of other people. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to let the Word speak for me. And so I want you to see what the Bible says and contrast it between the things that aren't like Jesus and the things that are like Jesus. And I believe that Galatians 5 and 19 is a great place to start. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to start there. But this is what God is saying. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So to be like Jesus is not optional. See, everybody thinks their purpose is optional. Your purpose is not optional, because God told Timothy through Paul that you are saved according to his grace and his purpose. So if you're not in the purpose, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So you better do some soul searching, church, because, then what's the contrast? How am I going to be like Jesus? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love him? The fruit, singular. There's only one fruit, and that's love. There's nothing else. Everything else flows out of that love. All these other attributes are really coming from the love of God in your life. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When you get more Holy Ghost, you get more love. You need to love everybody in this church. Even if they have conflict with you, you ought to thank God for them, because that lets you know how much you don't love. Because if you don't know how much you don't love, then you don't know what to pray for, and you're liable to go to judgment. And God said you got hatred in your heart and wrath and strife, and you lose out. And you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, you need to be conformed. God needs a smith in your life to melt you down and forge the love of God. And joy. Is anybody filled with joy tonight? I am tired of talking to mad, upset, mean people. I just want to know, does anybody have any joy in your life? I just want to know, does anybody have any peace in their life? Thank God for peace. Thank God when I go home to peace. Woo! It's peace and quiet. Wow, hallelujah. Unless the grandkids come over, and then it's mass pandemonium. But there's another peace that comes when they come over, and it's the joy of being able to experience long suffering. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, I'm just done with them. Be careful how you say that. Because if God doesn't say you're done, then you just tacked on a few more years to your prison sentence. Oh, long suffering, gentleness. Where's this harshness? this physical, fleshly aggressiveness, pushing our way to the front. Goodness, faith, meekness, which means I can't do it by myself, Jesus. I need you. That's what meekness is. Temperance. Against such there is no law. No matter what happens to us in our lives, you must exhibit these characteristics at all times. This is what God's called you to do. This is what God's called you to be like. It can only be done through the Holy Ghost. Have you ever tried to live that way? I believe Galatians, and I know you do too. I believe it, but I've got flesh hanging on my bones, and I'm going to tell you, it is not easy. And I can't say that I'm perfect at it in every turn, but I sure do pray about it a lot. And I said, God, would you please straighten me out? And he said, yeah, if you get out of my way, I will. God's not going to do anything in your life you don't give him permission to. And if nobody can make you aware of how mad you are about everything, then there's nothing we can do to help you. You're just shut down, and your unawareness. It's like Louis Armstrong says, if they don't know, they don't know, you can't tell them. You just can't tell them. So they get mad at you. Certain things in our lives, they're just there to test our spirit. The works of the flesh are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, because whoever you act like, that's what you'll be. The practices of the flesh, it says it's all about me. But in Matthew 7 and 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. And when you act like God, then God will associate himself with you. And just the opposite applies. When you act like Satan, then Satan associates himself with you. It means that whatever God is and comes with God, and whatever Satan is comes with Satan. So you've got to understand whatever you fellowship with. Here's Isaiah 61 and 3. Y'all just think it's about shouting, but it's not just about shouting. Listen to it. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament or a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of expressive praise instead of a heavy burden, failing spirit. Why? If you do this, you will be oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God. You'll be God's planting that he may be glorified. Listen, you know this as well as I do. God is not glorified by your depressed, messed up, heavy spirit. But when you say, you know what? God's been so good to me. I'm going to take that cloak off, and I'm going to set it aside, and I'm going to put on the garment of praise. I choose to do it. There's no supernatural nothing that's happening around me. I'm just going to put on my garment of praise. I go to my closet. Woo! I just wish some of you had a Holy Ghost closet. I wish you had a place you went and prayed every day. God will give you a garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness, that fainting, that failing, depression. When you're depressed, you got to learn to put your praise on. You got to get dressed up in praise like you get dressed in the morning. My spirit must refuse to worry. Now, how many of you are worriers? And go on and admit it. I'm not going to rebuke you. Go on and admit it. You're a worrier. I'm not setting you up just so I can embarrass you. How many of you are a worry? You just worry. Some of y'all worry me. That's right. Amen. Some of y'all, how many of you just worry? The rest of you, I know some of you are lost because you just did not tell the truth. But you're a worrier, and that's all right. But listen, you got to choose not to worry. Because when you worry, who are you acting like? Are you believing the devil's going to win, or you believing Jesus is going to win? When you praise, which side are you taking? Or when you are heavy and you're overwhelmed and you don't know which way to go, which side are you taking? Who are you acting like? Because that's who you know. That's who you're learning. and I want to learn Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm not talking about learning how to be a Pentecostal. I'm not talking about learning how the catechism in order to be a Catholic. I'm not talking about learning the Book of Mormon. I'm talking about learning Jesus, because I wasn't called to be like you. That's not my purpose, to be like anybody in this church. Quit telling me I need to preach like somebody else, because I wasn't called to preach like them, ignorant. Quit telling me if I preach like this, then God could use me. No, God can't use me preaching like somebody else. I can only be used by me preaching like me. I got to learn about Jesus. I don't need to be like your favorite preacher. I need to be what Jesus wants me to be, and I need to preach like Jesus. Romans 4 and 17, as it is written, I made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. He calls those things that are not as though they already were. God's the only one that can do that. But we need to step out instead of speaking to what could happen and the bad that can happen. Somebody needs to step out and say, by faith, I'm going to declare what I believe God could do if he intervenes in this situation. We demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. We act like God. It's a mark of maturity to walk with joy. Wow. That is the key to what God's telling the church in this hour. You need to walk with joy. And so, will you still praise God and exhibit his character when times get tough? Will you trust in God and strive to be like him even when it seems like he's not your friend? When you pray and he doesn't answer, will you say along with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? Job understood who God is, and therefore he trusted God's character to be true. That's why he requested an audience when he didn't really have anything to say. And when he finally met God, he couldn't present his case to God because all the evidence just seemed to burn up in the whirlwind. And God started asking him a bunch of hard questions that he couldn't answer. And he just put his hand over his mouth and said, I don't have anything to say. He said, I'm just going to sit here in dust and in ashes because I don't have anything to say. We will not always understand what God is doing in our lives. So to be like him, we must learn to live by faith. We must possess his unconditional love. Jesus had unconditional love for us at the cross. Then said Jesus, this is Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Church, you can't sit there and say you're like Jesus when there's an unforgiveness in your spirit. Even when his own creation was hurting, Jesus forgave all of us out of love. I was forgiven of much. He died on the cross so he could do that legally. And now I am washed. I am cleansed. Why in the world would I hold anything in my heart against any of you for any reason? There's no good reason for that. There's no list you could come up with. There's no, well, I remember what they said. I don't care if they said it, and even worse than that, they are forgiven. You say, how can you do that? Not because of me, but because of him. He forgave me. How could I dare not forgive you? Say, well, I ain't done nothing to you. I know, but you're forgiven anyway. You're forgiven. Jesus gave himself for us out of love. The Bible commands us to show God's loving character in Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Well, I want to be like Jesus. Love your enemies. I want to be like, I want to know him and I want to be like him. Love your enemies. Love the people you don't like. And this is this next one, this comma gets me, Brother Larry. It just tears me up. Because then it says, bless them that curse you. Hello? Have you ever tried to do that without going through a real serious prayer meeting? Now, I know some of you aren't doing it, period. But you think you've got the Holy Ghost. And I'm just trying to tell you, you're going to go to judgment and you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God because you can't get in with that kind of thinking. You've got to bless those who curse you. This is Jesus. This is living Jesus now. You got to do good to them that hate you. Pray for them. Pray for them which despitefully use you. I'll pray for them. I'll pray the judgment of God on them. Don't you pray the judgment of God on anybody, because that judgment that comes on them will come on you. Brother, you dig a pit for somebody, you will fall in it. I know you don't like this, but this is how you learn to be like Jesus. You may go to judgment, choose to live your life any way you want to, but this preacher, I don't care how long I got to stay at the altar, I won't get up until I forgive everybody of everything and I walk above the treetops. And you better learn how to do the same. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That means go seek them out and pray in the name of Jesus. God, bless them. And that's when you can shake them and get away with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got to learn how to do that. Because if you go to judgment thinking that you're better than anybody else, different than anybody else, you will be turned away. And I'm not going to let you go. I love you too much to let you go to judgment and think anything other than what this book says. I say, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. That's why you're saved, is because Jesus lived this on a cross. He lived this when you were nothing but a drunk and an alcoholic and a mean little devil. And you came into this church and he gave you forgiveness. And that's why you've got the Holy Ghost. Is you're not a drunk anymore. You're not an addict anymore. You're still probably mean, but you're in church. Praise God, I got a chance to work on you. Hallelujah. Come on, church. We got to do this now. We can't wait. You got to do this now. We can't play church. We got to love this present people that are here and those that persecute you. Our love for others must be unconditional. It's easy to love when everything's going well, but our love for God must be unconditional, even when it seems like he's neglecting us or allowing us to endure in our pain. Remember that all things will work together for the good of them that love God. So you just fulfill your purpose. I've done it all of my life. I don't care what my assignments were. I don't care if I didn't even have an assignment. I know what my purpose is. My purpose is to pursue God and to know him and then to be like him. And God will always put me in situations before he ever gives me a new assignment. He purposely puts aggravating people in my life to test me, to see how I respond to them. And if I don't respond to them correctly, I just increase my prison sentence. I don't get off on probation. I stay behind the bars until I learn to respond correctly. And I say, I'm not going to go down a list and say, I'll forgive you of 213.6, but I won't forgive you of 216.7. It don't work that way. I got to throw away the list. and I've got to forgive you and walk in the love of Jesus Christ. And if you can learn to do that, you can become like Jesus. We must desire to be like him more than anything in the world. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We have to want to be like Jesus more than we want a good marriage, a good job, a good ministry, or a new car. Our hunger to be like Jesus has to transcend the feeling of embarrassment, of being labeled too conservative, too spiritual, too whatever, and just that just doesn't work for me type attitude. And you may feel like it doesn't work, but listen, I'm not the judge. I'm just telling you what the book says. And if Revelations is true, and maybe you've got a different revelation than the revelation that's in this book, but according to the book of Revelation, when you are judged, your name's got to be written in the Lamb's book of life, and he brings out the books. That's the word. And you're not going to be judged by a Pentecostal manual, and you're not going to be judged by anybody's rule book in this church, but you will be judged by this book. And church, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I'm going to tell you right now that every time I feel a touch of God in my life, I know God's calling me to be more like him. He's calling me to be more like him. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what this book says. I'm not ashamed of being one God, apostolic, Jesus name baptized, Holy Ghost filled. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that I'm in the First Pentecostal Church of Pensacola. I'm not ashamed because I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I think that we ought to have such confidence in this house to be like him without shame. If you want to be more like him, you can't keep your fleshly nature. You got to give it up. To be like Jesus, you got to become the servant to all. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So to be like Jesus, we got to deny ourselves. We must be obedient. We must follow him. We must embrace servanthood in all forms. We must realize that we are all God's creation, and we must serve and honor God's creation in every form that we possibly can, with our words, with our attitude, with our spirit. Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, this is Jesus talking. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That means the one person I won't do this for, I have just rejected Jesus in my life. I cannot distinguish between this one or that one. Because when God forgave us at the cross, he forgave us all. To activate that forgiveness in your life, all you got to do is repent and confess your faith in him, and you will activate the most powerful force in the universe. And that is, God's not going to let you go to hell without a fight. And is anybody glad? I said, is anybody glad that all your baggage, that all your junk, that everything you've done wrong is under the blood tonight because you were baptized in Jesus' name. I wish somebody would clap their hands Are you glad? Then you ought to offer the same thing. We have to be good to those who are less fortunate. We got to be generous to them. Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12 and says to them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all. You got to humble yourself. We have to give of ourselves. We got to put others first, knowing that God will take care of us. To be like Jesus, we cannot yearn for the recognition of men. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Church, I'm pleading with you tonight. Put God first. I'm going to say it again. I felt something shake right then. I say, put God first. I'm going to say it one more time. Put God first. I'm going to say it again. Put God first. I'm going to say it one more time. First Pentecostal Church, put God first. I'm going to say it one more time. Put God first. Don't value this world. It'll burn up. Money, fame, and fortune can be gone in an instant. But Jesus and the church shall endure. We seek God first, knowing he's going to take care of our needs. We seek his approval and not the approval of man. Even if close friends don't agree, my quest for Jesus goes beyond my friendship, whether they're preachers or not. Even if they pastor great churches, if they don't want to be like Jesus, and they act contrary from what they put in the pulpit, I will not fellowship with them. I don't care if they hold a card. I don't care if they're your favorite preacher. I will not fellowship with them. Because I will not allow my friendships with anybody to keep me from being like Jesus. Listen, I'm not going to hang around mockery and sarcasm and people that are tearing everybody down and prejudice and racism and bias. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe Jesus is magnified by it. I believe everybody can be saved from every nation, from every tongue, from every kindred, from every family. Woo! I don't think there's a bad family that God can't save somebody out of that family. I don't care what they're in. My God, I think we ought to shout on that. Somebody ought to say, this church is open for everybody. It's open for the drug addict. It's open for the black man. It's open for the white man. It's open for the Chinese brother. It's open for the Japanese dude. It's open for the Arabians. It's open for the Jewish people. It's open for everybody on this planet. To be like Jesus. Sometimes I've never had to do this on my own, because when God's drawing me closer to him, he automatically puts that wall up. And it's just like, I don't know how he does it, but it's like I don't have to wear a sign on my chest that says, I'm trying to be like Jesus and not like you. Don't have to do that. You get to praying. You get to speak in faith. Oh, I believe God can give us revival tonight. And then they say, that automatically will tell you right there. And you can't answer a fool. The Bible teaches you don't do that. You'll get a blight. And you'll just get messed up. So bless you in Jesus' name. Forgive you. And just keep speaking faith. Amen. You're not going to be popular. This message is not a popular message. But I learned a long time ago, I'm not trying to be sensational. Just not trying to be. Don't want to be. Don't need to be. I just want to be like Jesus. People are going to criticize you. But you don't have to worry about the critics. You just got to be concerned. Can I be like Jesus in spite of my critics? To be like Jesus is the greatest reward. That's my purpose in life. To think like God. To talk like Him. And to act like Him. And I shared it with you. Read those scriptures as you read the New Testament and you pray them over your life. I pray these scriptures over my life because I cannot do this by myself. I don't have the strength. I'm not good enough, first of all. There's no goodness in my flesh that can produce this. But there's the touch of the Master's hand. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you know how much Jesus cares for you? You ought to care for the person that's sitting right next to you because you don't even know what they're going through. You have no idea what's happening in their life right now and how much they're hurting. You could turn around and start ministering to them right now and you could be the greatest blessing and don't even realize you're being a great blessing because they're in desperate need of just somebody to pray for them right now. To be like Jesus. It's just that. Simple. But yet it's so hard, isn't it? My. So difficult. Amen. Don't come up to me and say, I want to get closer to God and you know you're in sin. That just don't make any sense to me. First of all, go repent of your sin. Then come back. It's quiet now. That's all right. Because you're thinking you're going to get a pass because God is so good. And you're not going to get a pass because God is so good, it'll lead you to repentance. But you better make sure you repent. Well, what do I need to do? Get rid of sin in your life. What you know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. It. And that sin, if you continue in it, will bring forth death. And I don't want you to die. I want you to live and I want you to be right with God. You cannot live what I am preaching if you do not have a present, up-to-date relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why you better be in every call to war. You better be in every service you can be in. You need to be worshiping. You need to say, Jesus, touch me. You need to say, Jesus, help me. You need to say, Jesus, change me. You need to say, Jesus, do something in my life. I wish you would just choose to be like Jesus. That's one prayer I never have any problem Jesus answering. Every time I say, I want to be like you, Jesus, and he lists about 15 things I need to work on and change. Thank you very much. Then when he gets that 15 done, he's got 15 more. And I said, is the list ever end? He said, as long as you're breathing, there will be a list. He said, but I'm giving you a chance. because I'll give you only a little bit at a time, and I won't overwhelm you, but I'll keep leading you and leading you one step at a time. Here a little, there a little, a brick upon a brick, and I just keep on giving and keep on doing it. But I wish somebody would say, I'm going to take off this heaviness, and I'm going to put on my garment of praise, and I'm going to walk in here, and I'm going to let God do his work, because I want to be like him. I want to know him, and I want to be like him. It doesn't make any difference if I can preach a crusade and 1,000 people get the Holy Ghost if I don't act like Jesus. It don't make any difference if I can preach this or that or the other. It doesn't matter unless I'm like Jesus. It doesn't matter, because that's just an assignment. This is the purpose. This is why I was saved. This is why he called me. This is why I do this, is to be like Jesus. Amen. Anybody want to be like Jesus now? Oh, you lost all the fuzzy feeling? Good. I think I actually did the right thing tonight, because church, our fuzzy feelings are not helping us get to the revival. I'll tell you what we need. We need good old-fashioned repentance that says, God, I need a new heart. I need a new spirit. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I would to God somebody would stand to their feet and say, I'm going to pray it until God does it in my life. I'm not going to quit praying it until God does it in my life. I want to be like Jesus. So I want you to bless somebody next to you. I want you to grab a hold of them. I want you to, you know, not violently, but I want you to connect with them right now. I want you to pray in the name of Jesus. I want you to believe God. I want you to let your pride down for a moment. I want you to pray, God, I want to be like you, Jesus. Fuzzy feelings aren't helping us. Sensational, fast music in the altar and jumping around's not changing us. People still holding things in their heart, being snared by the bait of Satan. And we need the working of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. God, help me to love people. Help me to love you, Jesus.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us if you have any questions. We would be delighted to hear from you. And we can be found at firstpent.org. That is FIRSTPENT.org. And we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.